Hi, my name is Kunal, and welcome to the Geeks of the Valley podcast, which connects with some of the brightest minds globally who are leading their respective industries today to discuss the hottest upcoming industry trends and how their work is affecting the global economy. What started off as a coffee chat has now grown into a global platform for visionaries. This morning from the San Francisco Bay Area, we have a returning guest. The ex-MD of Honda Innovations and current investment director at Xeon Ventures. Please welcome back Dennis Clark. Dennis, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's great to be back on the podcast.
And how are things with you in San Francisco?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful. Lots of activity here, lots of deal activity and excitement around, artificial intelligence and all of the excitement around climate solutions and that type of thing. So it's great to be active.
No, that's amazing. And from what I've been told, you've recently made a career transition from leading corporate venturing and innovation at Honda and moved into a traditional chemical company to help launch their venture arm. Can you share your motivations as to why you made this change?
Sure. Yeah. So last when we spoke a few years ago, I was at a large global automotive company where I spent about a decade. At that time, I was spending a lot of time with our team looking at various battery technologies to invest in and kind of helping the company start to plan its transition to going all in on electric vehicles. During this process, I learned that while transportation is the biggest contributor to climate change, I think the US EPA estimates about 28% of greenhouse gas emissions are due to transportation. The next biggest emitter is industry at 23%. And at that point, it was really clear to me that the shift to electrification of transportation was well on its way and there was no going back. What wasn't clear to me though, really is how traditional industries like chemical companies can rapidly decarbonize and meet some of these ambitious targets that the companies and the governments we're putting out there. And this got me thinking a lot about the work that I was doing in corporate venturing and how it could help accelerate those efforts and what an important mission it is. About a year later, I had the great fortune of coming across the opportunity. I met the Xeon team and we launched the CVC. And it's been about a year since I made the jump, and I'm delighted to say that we've made some really good progress. Progress in identifying and investing in really world-class startups that are innovating in areas like energy transition and decarbonization. Companies that will help Xeon do business better and even find new business opportunities. And hopefully I'll have a chance to share some of those companies and with specific examples today.
So that being said, can you tell us more about the mission and focus of Xeon Ventures as a firm and how Xeon's corporate objectives are aligned with your investments in materials, sustainability, and health?
Yeah, great question. So let me take a step back for a minute and really first describe the business of the parent corporation, Xeon Corporation. So Xeon is a multinational elastomer, polymer, and specialty materials company with a 70 plus year history. Now, I know this sounds a bit esoteric, particularly to the uninitiated. So let me give you some concrete examples. You and most of your listeners have probably touched a product today with Xeon materials inside. So the monitor that you're looking at, the PC, the display on the wall, the smartphone in your pocket, quite possibly uses Xeon optical film. If you have an electric vehicle in your driveway, there's a good chance that the battery in that vehicle uses binder in the anode or cathode that's produced by Xeon. Also, the tires on your car, if you have an internal combustion engine car, the belts, possibly use Xeon synthetic rubber. So the company materials are used in a variety of products from automotive to consumer electronics, and even in healthcare and life sciences. So the mission of Xeon Ventures as a CVC really is to invest in startups and help accelerate the materials and technologies that are needed to make life on Earth better and more sustainable. In doing this, we hope to help Xeon find meaningful new business opportunities and opportunities that are at the intersect of doing better for the environment and really creating innovative new products. And so it's my belief that this is where the world's next trillion-dollar opportunities will come from, at this intersect of kind of doing better for the environment and creating innovative new products. And so in this way, our two-pronged mission is really one.
That being said, how has the landscape of industrials like Zaon changing, and what pressures or trends are driving these changes in your opinion?
Yeah, sure. I think about this a lot, and this is, you know, I look at this from the lens of having been in mobility and automotive for the last 10 years, but I feel that, you know, chemicals and materials companies are in a way in a very similar situation to automotive companies a decade ago. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, there are a variety of technological advancements and what I'll call global mega trends that are really challenging the industry to think and operate differently. And this is more than any other time in their history. The first and biggest factor is, of course, climate change, right? So as the impacts of climate change become more apparent, both governments and large corporations are setting these really bold targets and accelerating their efforts to decarbonizing their operations. And to give you an example, this includes like stringent requirements on material suppliers like Zaon for cleaner, more bio-based materials and moving away from petroleum-based feedstocks. So adding to this pressure is this emerging megatrend towards onshoring in regions like the US, for example, and this is due to geopolitics and maybe some holdover from COVID impacts. But over the last few decades, competitive prowess in chemicals and materials has always been driven by pricing and quality, right? And now you're adding a third vector, which is really the place of production. So if we take EV battery materials and the US as an example, the government is now requiring a certain percentage of parts and materials to be produced here domestically. So this is forcing global companies to really rethink the rationale and the economics of where and what they produce. And if they now need to produce in regions that are more costly, like the US, just to grow their business, they need to innovate on the process of manufacturing to drive down costs, or even in some cases, consider alternative raw materials. And all this needs to be done considering environmental impacts, of course. So finally, I think that another factor that's really driving these pressures in the industry and change is recent advancements in green chemicals, in synthetic biology specifically, gene editing, automation. We're really at the cusp of a biomanufacturing revolution. And these new technologies are enabling us to, in some cases, manipulate biological systems, produce things with precision and efficiency that we haven't been able to do before, and create really a new set of ingredients or materials, if you will, that could literally change the world around us.
From your perspective, what are some examples of new materials which are being developed that are better for the environment? And how are startups and investors kind of driving the change towards a more sustainable physical world, in your opinion?
Yeah, so I'm going to geek out here a little bit. I guess I'm on Geeks of the Valley, so it's appropriate. But first, a really quick caveat. So I'm not a materials expert, nor do I play one on TV. I'm literally learning on the job here. However, many of the smart industry insiders that I talk to believe that we're really finally seeing advancements that make it possible to use, like, let's say, synthetic biology to produce valuable chemicals and even therapeutics in a more sustainable and cost-effective way. So biomanufacturing, as it's termed, really has the potential to transform industries from healthcare to energy to even consumer goods. So during the early and mid 20th century, an increasing variety of synthetic polymers were invented, particularly during like the 1930s and 1950s. And these materials have become foundational to most of the products that we use today. You may have heard of Bakelite, for example, a little bit of an older material, but it was the first synthetic polymer that was used in everything from radios to telephones because it had these non-conductive properties and really a low cost to produce. And during this time, you know, there were big chemical companies that commercialized polymers like polyethylene, polyurethane, nylon, polyester, things that are widely used today. Incidentally, most of these materials, if you're not aware, are derived from fossil fuels. And although they're cheap to produce, and have good performance characteristics in many cases, they're of course problematic for the environment throughout their life cycle. So this new emerging materials revolution is really putting reducing carbon and environmental impact front and center. But for these materials, like, success will also depend upon the ability of these materials to come down the cost curve. And in some cases, they need to offer better properties than existing plastics or materials today. So it's mostly startups that are really pushing the limits of the technology and creating new materials using things like synthetic biology. The great news now is that there's government incentive, governments are funding this, and established companies and industry giants like Zaon are really emerging with things like corporate venture units to help support and collaborate with these innovators. If any of your listeners are interested in diving deeper on this topic, there's a couple of things I'd recommend. There's a gentleman by the name of Sung Zhu, who writes a Substack that talks about this new materials paradigm. Really helpful to learn about that. And there's a newsletter called The Column that tracks innovations from traditional chemical companies and startups alike. Happy to share the links in the show notes later on, but it's a really fascinating area, and it's just kind of emerging, and there's finally capital coming into this space, which is exciting.
So we spent the first part of the call talking about the industry and where some of the emerging technologies lie. Can you share some more information on some of these initial investments which you have made and give some insights on how Zaon Ventures kind of supports startups beyond this capital investment?
Sure. So we launched Zaon Ventures less than a year ago. We've done four investments, and we have a couple of additional deals in the pipeline. The first few investments we've done have focused on EVs, energy transition, and biomanufacturing specifically. So on the electrification side, our first portfolio company is a company called AM Battery, and they're producing really an innovative electrode, dry electrode manufacturing technology for lithium ion batteries. So they've developed an electrostatic spray technology that can be used to manufacture electrodes and eliminate the use of toxic solvents. And toxic solvents are bad because they increase the manufacturing costs, and they also emit significant CO2 in production. So this is a really interesting innovation that can reduce CO2 emissions and hopefully bring down the cost of battery production. And of course, our support with this company is, you know, we've been in the battery industry 20 plus years. We have a good network and know-how in the industry. Another investment from last year is in the biomanufacturing space, a California-based company called Visolis. Visolis is developing a platform technology using synthetic biology to produce a number of high-value chemicals, including things like active ingredient for skincare, isoprene, for example, an ingredient in synthetic rubber, and even potentially sustainable aviation fuels. So Visolis' process replaces petroleum as a feedstock, as a raw material, and uses biomass to produce these chemicals and essentially make them carbon negative. Now, I don't want to talk too much of our book, but I'll introduce one more really unique and interesting portfolio company from earlier this year that we're very excited about. We made a small investment in a company called Amogy that's producing a powerful clean energy solution leveraging ammonia as a fuel source to provide affordable energy for industrial applications. So they're working with industrial partners to apply this technology to things like shipping and even heavy trucks and trucking.
And with your experience in corporate innovation and venturing, can you share some key insights and best practices for driving open innovation and collaboration between startups and established corporations in areas such as mobility and industrials? So looking at it from really both angles.
Yeah, so creating meaningful collaboration between startups and large companies is pretty challenging. And there's no really right answer. It's really an art and not a science. In my experience, though, it's really an iterative process with the company, and it's important initially to first clearly identify uniqueness and value that both parties, both the startup and the corporate, bring to the table. And for the corporate, it really just can't be about investment capital. And the investments that I mentioned earlier, the companies that we've invested in, there's a concrete value add that we've identified as Zaon to work with each company beyond just putting in pure investment capital. So in most cases, it's the collaboration and the know-how that we're providing that's as important or more important to the startup than our money. And especially best-in-class companies, typically there's never a problem for them accessing capital.
So Dennis, earlier in the call, you alluded to being hired to come in and build out the venture CVC or the corporate venture capital arm of Zeon Ventures. What are some of the most notable achievements of Zeon Ventures since its launch in terms of maybe startup collaborations, strategic investments, and potential acquisitions?
Yeah, great question. So I think first, you know, CVC activities are best measured in years, not months. But I think we're off to a good start. So, you know, we've done four investments that are public that are across a variety of categories, including biomanufacturing, energy transition, kind of establishing a good portfolio for the company. We have a couple of more deals in the pipeline. And we've done a handful of non-dilutive collaborations where we're facilitating collaboration with the startup, but we're not necessarily making an investment. Maybe the company's too early or we want to validate the technology before going further. One interesting anecdote to share in our short history is that when Zeon Corporation set up the CVC, one of the goals that they put in our kind of KPIs was identifying acquisition targets. And this was kind of targeted for year three or four of the activities. That was a good puzzle piece fit for our business expansion strategy in that area. And company is called Edge Precision, but we ended up introducing the company to corporate headquarters, and they completed together with us an acquisition at the end of last year, which is really great for the company. And it's an amazing addition to our portfolio. I think this demonstrates that, you know, as a CVC, you never really know what type of opportunities may come, and you need to be flexible and adapt to external opportunities and kind of corporate needs, and being opportunistic sometimes can be very helpful.
So I know previously in our previous podcast, you never actually really had a chance to touch on this. Previously, you had past work in international civil service and academic research on corporate social responsibility. Can you share some insights on how corporates can drive positive change through investing in startups from this angle?
Yeah. So as you alluded to, you know, ever since I was in college, I was interested in this idea of what they call like the double bottom line, right? So doing good for society while operating a profitable business, right? And I even spent a couple of years as a researcher investigating corporate social responsibility in manufacturing environments. And in today's society, the role and influence of corporations, of course, has grown and continues to grow. And the lines between government, philanthropy, corporations have really blurred. I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing. And I think that large corporations and small startups particularly have a big role to play in advancing things, especially related to sustainability and climate. Big corporates have vast resources and experience. While startups really have creativity, nimbleness, the ability to think outside the box, go in, all in really on new technological approaches to doing business, and those can be transformative. So I see corporate venturing as just another great tool for society at large to foster collaboration and address some of the major challenges of our time in an economically viable way. So, you know, Zeon Ventures is a modest CVC fund. I'm really proud of the work that we're doing to help support mission-driven startups in areas like energy transition and biomanufacturing. And we're really just getting started. And this work is crucial for the continued success and growth of Zeon as a company in the long run. And the fact that we can do this simultaneously while helping startups scale their solutions for clean energy and addressing climate change really makes every day on the job for me extremely invigorating.
And Dennis, for people out there who are interested in catching a cup of coffee with you, interested in, you know, getting your advice or looking at Zeon as a potential strategic investor, what would be the best point of contact?
Sure. So yeah, we're actively investing across Series A and B companies. We're happy to meet with entrepreneurs and investors across all categories and different stages. But yeah, feel free to reach out. I'm available on LinkedIn. I'm pretty responsive there. I have a Twitter that I can be reached at as well, at Dennis Clark SF. And yeah, look forward to interacting with your community.
Dennis, it was a pleasure having you on Geeks of the Valley, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.